Father Brendan Duddy, you're a Jesuit and you're also a long time friend of the late Seamus Heaney. And fortuitously, as chaplain in Vincent's, you bumped into him not long before he died.
Yes, I got to know Seamus when I came back from Zambia, and his book had just come out in 66. I met him in 67. So I went to many of the poetry readings around Dublin, and one day I met him in the tower, and students were examining Joyce's poetry in a glass case and didn't know what it was about. So I said, well, you didn't go any far, because Seamus Heaney is just behind me. And Seamus graciously, as usual, explained what was there.
That must have been a great treat for students in Sandymount Tower, the Martello Tower, looking at Joyce, and then Seamus Heaney's there, and he, as you say, graciously went to them and explained Joyce.
Okay, well then, I was in for that week while Seamus was in hospital, so I met him twice. First time, curious enough, we talked about his children, and he talked about what they were all doing. Catherine was going to go over and see him, hopefully from England. And then we did what Seamus calls poet speak. We began to talk about various people. I said a great admiration for Paddy Kavanagh, not only for The Great Hunger, which was one of the seminal things for him, but also because Paddy had written two books in prose. He said, well, a man without having a chance of education wrote Carrie Flynn and The Greenfield. It just amazed me.
That's interesting because, I mean, there was a while when Paddy Kavanagh, I think now we're talking maybe 20, 25 years ago, was slightly looked down upon by the, let's say, the intellectual elite in literary establishments.
Yeah, it was. Paddy was. But early on, people copped on to Paddy. There's no genuine stuff. And, of course, any rural stuff, Seamus made it that stuff. Plus Longley, plus Derek Mahon, they knew he's one of the coming men to come, you know.
So you went to St. Columb's, but you weren't the same year as Seamus.
No, I was 3 years ahead, and we joked about that. Well, I stuck his head under a tap, as we used to do with the young lads coming, the yaps, as they call them, who came to Columb's College. I may have done that. But we talked about the places where he played in the college, played handball, and then he remembered some older people who were boarders, but I was a day boy.
Did he like St. Columb's? Did he?
He didn't say much, but obviously he got some from the teachers. There was a fellow Kelly there who accidentally became a teacher, became an examiner of secondary school students. He was a great teacher of English, and then the two Coulters were teachers of English, which he had.
As a man, people have said this, and clearly it happened with you, he really was famous, though, and Nobel laureate though he was. He really was a family man and loved his family, and that clearly came first before anything.
Yeah, no, Seamus had his feet on the ground, obviously, all the time. He loved to joke. He joked that we shouldn't be doing poet speak. He talked about everything. And he was reading a big book which wasn't poetry at all when I was in there.
Into the hospital?
Yes. So he would go out of range all over the place. But what I liked is early on, when he was at Queen's, a guy called Alvarez went to Europe for BBC, and we learned about all these poets behind the Iron Curtain. And Seamus, because they suffered for every word they wrote, and he was really impressed by that.
You're a Derry man, and there's been debate about Heaney's poetry in terms of tackling the issues of the Troubles. Now, you've read all of his poetry and read widely. Where do you come down on that debate?
No, Seamus, I think, he never put it this way, but I think he said, I could write a poem about the Alma bombing, and all the poems be written. It would be a topical, it would be at that particular time, it may be forgotten about. I want to do something for Ireland which was greater. I would put Ireland on the map, and this would be one of the features that was there. But he spoke, actually, in England, quite openly when he was in England, about the Troubles in the North, and wrote in The Listener. And at one point, you know, the time, a book came out, British Poetry, and Seamus Gaughan said, no, I'm not a British poet, so he knew his
identity. He knew his identity. Yeah. When you first read Death of a Naturalist, yeah. I think that was his first book of poetry, what was your reaction to it? Can you remember?
I do. I read a lot of poetry. This was sent down to me by my sister. I read the first two poems, and I said, Seamus has got it.